Hello and welcome to the Campaign Podcast. I'm Beau Jackson, Media Editor at Campaign, and I'm excited to be hosting a celebratory special of this year's Campaign Media Awards. Hosted at the Royal Lancaster on the 18th of April, the 2024 Campaign Media Awards was a sold-out event of 700 people brought together to celebrate the best of the best in media from 2023. I am joined today by three of this year's winners and we'll be discussing Barbie, Vanish and Transformation at Mail Metro Media. From the winning commercial team of the year, we have Lauren Dick, Executive Director of Media and Data at Mail Metro Media. Hello, Lauren.
Hello.
From Zenith, the most awarded media agency at the event for the second year in a row, we have Chief Strategy Officer Richard Clay. Hi, Richard.
Hello.
And from the PhD team behind the coveted Grand Prix, we have Associate Planning Director Tilly McPherson-Brutti. Hello, Tilly.
Hi.
Thank you all for joining me today. So to get us started, I'm going to ask each of you to just to take us through some personal highlights of your award-winning work from 2023. So Lauren, to summarise 2023 for Mail Metro, it saw the launch of a new look Metro, new ad products and the fresh activation of data. But what do you think made it such a winning year? And what was so winning about your entry this year?
This year really is a year of transformation for us. It's year one of our five-year plan. And so I think that everyone in the room and in our entry and actually all of the team behind it are able to stand up and really talk solidly about the achievements of this year, the strategy behind it, and the fact that everyone is really focused on the same goals for the upcoming, for the other 4 years of the five-year plan. Obviously, the team, I'm just so proud of the team. It's such a great recognition of all of their work across the industry.
And Lauren, I think you were involved in the pitch, right, for this year's Commercial Team of the Year award as well. What kind of effort went into that?
I was. Myself, Dom and Ryan were there on the day to pitch to the judges. We actually got the early slot because we were going from there to one of our events in Manchester. So it was a busy day. I think we felt like the apprentices running around London with our suitcases. But no, it was an incredible day. The judges are very stony-faced on the day. You don't know how it's gone. But some of the questions they asked were really perfectly positioned for us to be able to answer, in terms of they really allowed us to highlight the work that we're doing with our clients, the work that we're doing with our apprentice schemes, and just the shifting culture at Mail Metro Media. So yeah, it was great. The questions they asked us really fed into all the things that we wanted to highlight on the day.
I know you do a lot of that kind of stuff all the time, but did you get nervous about it still? How was the mood on the day when you were pitching?
It was a little, yeah, I think we were a bit nervous beforehand. We met in a cafe beforehand and I think there was a bit of silence as everyone was going through their parts. Mm-hmm. But no, obviously myself, Dom, Ryan, consummate professionals, and we're able to talk to everything we do, because everything that was in the award really is the backbone of the strategy for Mail Metro Media and its growth.
Yeah, I mean, nerves just show you care about it, surely, anyway, don't they?
Exactly. We really are passionate and there's so much work goes into these awards because we really do care.
So, Richard, then, tell us about your 2023. What are some of your personal highlights from Zenith?
From a numbers point of view, we were so proud to get 5 wins last year. And so to surpass that and get 7 this year was a real highlight, and we were really pleased. And I think that the red thread that runs through all our entries, I think, again, makes me and the whole agency proud, is that there's a clear insight, and I think some really good insights, that we're driving all the work, and that work was really delivering for our clients, which is obviously the most important thing. So I think sort of getting sort of insightful and different work in categories like finance, but also in things like healthcare and hygiene is hard. And so I think to be delivering that consistency across such a range of different types of clients and different businesses makes us really proud.
When I've been speaking to a few people about this, actually, they often say that it can be so easy to forget the insight once you've done the work, right? Like, you've done all of the, and then I don't know if it's a kind of situation where you had a lot of insight at the beginning and it's developed so much that since then, you're like, where did that come from again? Actually, what is the heart of this? Where do we, you know, how do you keep that? How do you keep that insight running as a thread throughout?
That clarity of kind of thought is really important, because as you say, that there's so many things that happen from sort of the conception of media planning to the actual activation, looking at results, that keeping that sort of single-minded thought of what we're trying to do is, and making sure we sort of everything ladders back to those objectives and that insight, is obviously really important. And I think that's something that, again, that sort of there's a bit of kind of success breeds success, in that people increasingly at Zenith, I'm sure everywhere else who's done well from an awards point of view, see the value in that clarity and making sure you have a good insight, but it's delivering on your results as well.
How was that for you, Tilly, with such a huge project like Barbie, and you knew that was coming down the pipeline? I know you said you were excited to work on this since you joined PhD. What was your running thread throughout? Maybe pink, I don't know.
Yeah, I think pink is, you know, a big, all of our decks were very, very pink. And so that does kind of ground everything in that brand awareness. But, you know, as I say, I was very passionate about it on, you know, a work level, on a personal level. And I think for me, the key thing was early on, we weren't really sure what direction this film was going to take. We were planning in the dark for a very long time. Like, it could have been that huge success that we all wanted it to be, or it could have been a blip that ended at the preview photos that went wild on the internet. So I think our main goal was to kind of make sure that we were implementing that breadcrumb strategy that carried it through and turn into a big cultural moment for the UK. And I think it'd be very, very lucky to be able to kind of work on a client that can take brave risks, and doing the blank 96 sheets, I think is something you might not get to do very often in your career. So that was an incredibly cool moment for me, and kind of kicked off the campaign in a way that felt true to the brand.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they were fantastic. You're talking about just the billboards, yeah, that were wholly pink.
Yeah,
the Barbie pink.
The release date on them and Barbie pink.
Yeah, that just to be able to tap into something like that must be so satisfying in your work, and just to be able to hit the zeitgeist with something like that.
That's the really cool thing, is getting a campaign to be able to go beyond just, you know, marketing LinkedIn and hit the zeitgeist into kind of cultural awareness in the wider sense.
When the shortlists were announced, I'm sure you were all hotly checking who else had made it. I'd be keen to know who you thought were your biggest competition when it came to it. Lauren, let's start with you, because I know the commercial team of the year shortlisted were The Independent and The Telegraph too. So who do you think was your fiercest competition? There was seven others on it. And what did you admire most about their work?
Everyone who was shortlisted has an amazing story. Definitely the Independent has had a really transformational year with their strong pivot towards digital. I think personally, I was probably most worried about Channel 4. I think that they always really bring to life all of their content and just have an amazing way of telling stories across their slate. So I expected that their entry for the awards would be absolutely no different. But everyone always has, everyone always deserves to be shortlisted. And I know that so much work goes into this across the industry from each of the media owners that were shortlisted.
And Richard, how about you? Obviously shortlisted across several categories, but are there any agencies that stick out in particular categories that you were concerned about?
I think that at a total level, we definitely were looking at Barbie and thinking that that is arguably the most sort of visible and famous work across the industry of the year. So sort of expected to see lots of Barbie doing well. I think that we thought across different categories that the Robinsons gargling work was really good and interesting. I guess going back to that insight point, there's a really interesting insight, but I think that the media there was quite good and quite visible, and I don't know if it's just that I saw more of it, but I think there was a collective feeling that might do quite well. And also the Amex unsigned work I thought was interesting, because it's not necessarily a brand new insight to do that sort of thing, but I think executing that sort of thing in a more contemporary and very different media environment is a challenge, and it was clearly, it was good, and they well executed and did very well on the night.
What were some of the most interesting specifics about that campaign?
It's quite an interesting space for a financial services client to go in terms of sort of thinking about unsigned talent and experiences. You can easily get into a world where it becomes a very specific sort of impactful execution for not very many people, and it's really good for the people who benefit from it, but it's not got scale. And I think that a finance brand finding a way to tread that balance of doing something a bit different, but doing it in a way that shows the benefit of Amex Gold to a lot of people, I think is quite hard. And I think that was good. And there's a degree of risk associated with anything like that, which very traditionally you would say that financial services clients are less open to risk. And so I think that just getting a brand in that category to do something like that, again, I think is impressive.
And Tilly, you're sitting here with one of the most, as Richard has pointed out, one of the biggest campaigns of the year. So who did you see as your competition?
I think it's funny, I'm not just being humble. I don't think we thought we were going to win the Grand Prix. Like, we were all sitting at the table kind of shaking our hands at each other like, oh, I don't think our odds are super high. I think because Zenith and the Vanish campaign were absolutely kind of cleaning up, if I pardon the pun, on the night. So we thought that was going to win. And MGOD were doing some really cool stuff with OmniGov too. And I think I really admired the kind of the Zenith Vanish campaign and what it stood for. And I thought that was going to take it, really. But yeah, very happy that we managed to secure it in the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's go into Vanish a bit more then. So one of the awards that you'd won for it, Richard, was Creative Idea Budget over 250k, and it's the Vanish Me, My Autism and I campaign, which is a collaboration between Havas, Channel 4, TikTok and Ambitious About Autism that won Channel 4's Diversity in Advertising Award. Just to refresh the memory of any listeners, the campaign tells the story of an autistic girl and the importance of her hoodie, which gets stolen by her sister in an argument, and the product features in helping to clean this garment, which is such a visceral importance to her. So the creative for the campaign is really important. But Richard, how did the media help enhance the campaign's message and purpose?
I think that's what we're really proud about with this campaign. It is obviously wonderful creative with a really specific but very moving and universal insight about the importance of clothes to specific communities. And I think the role for media, which was really important, was actually scaling this. Like, it could easily have stopped with a great ad that got aired in the Channel 4 airtime from winning the Diversity Award, and that was as far as it went. And what we're really proud about is the campaign went way further, I think, because of the input of the media team as well. So we managed to, because of the success of the brilliant ad and how well it was landing, we were able to persuade Reckitt to put budget behind the creative to get it elsewhere. So it didn't just air on Channel 4, it aired on ITV and Sky as well. But also we were able to take it one step further again and start to look at start to take it out into TikTok, where obviously it is a great platform for getting people to put their own spin on a campaign. And that's exactly what we did. We got sort of autistic teenagers and people in the autistic community to talk about their garments that they valued, which again just gave the campaign more scale and impact. And it even went as far as an exhibition where autistic teenagers loaned some of their much-loved garments to go on display to sort of add another layer of depth to the campaign. I think that's the thing that we're really proud about, that it wasn't just sort of, you could easily have stopped and said, that's some really great work that has been done, let's just give it a media canvas. But the team went further and found more opportunities to add breadth and depth to the work. And I think that had internal impact as well. So the planning leads on the business have worked internally at Zenith to develop relevant support groups to help make sure that we are employing people who are neurodivergent, and if people are neurodivergent, they're getting the relevant support at work. So sort of there's an internal element to it as well, which shows the kind of the momentum that it generated, which I think is, again, makes us very proud.
So it's really connecting across more than just advertising. I think Vanish also have some of their own advocacy work for autistic people, which I think is really wonderful to see, rather it just being a tokenistic advert and capitalising on a community. It's really great to see. Just to open out this question a bit more too, one of the difficulties with judging media is delineating where media makes a difference to an already strong creative campaign. So, Lauren, I don't know, what are your thoughts on that? Where is it where you think media really makes the difference?
Yeah, I think obviously if you've got outstanding creative and then you're able to get that in front of the right people with your media strategy, you're starting from a great base because you've already got that amazing creative behind it. I'd say increasingly, and actually great example with working with the team at PhD and Warner for Wonka, where actually we're thinking more, how can we help to supplement the creative? So for the Wonka launch, we had a full TikTok strategy, creating content. Our editorial teams were out creating social videos to really bring that to life, rather than it just being a sort of tactical media buy across our TikTok channels. So I think they really do kind of complement each other. But of course, you need strong creative and strong media positioning to make sure that the message is landing with the right audiences.
And Tilly, where do you see media as giving that, you know, that enhancement to something that is so already strong and present in a public mindset? How can you tell where media is really pushing it and making it work?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And definitely in film in particular, it's hard to kind of extrapolate that sometimes. And I definitely think we'd have a tougher job to do if like the trailer wasn't particularly great, or we didn't have many cut downs in the variety that we had on Barbie. And I think they definitely work together to kind of make a good idea, that great idea. So I think a good example of that within our campaign would be, for example, that Love Island ad on TV. You know, it would have been good and contextually relevant within a standard trailer cut down, but then being able to have Ryan and Margot do something bespoke kind of elevated that in a way that made a much bigger splash. And I think on Warner in particular, we're very lucky that we, not lucky, but a freedom that we're able to have is that we don't have a kind of creative agency with pre-existing assets. So we are able to have the freedom to kind of generate creative ideas from the start rather than working with pre-existing assets. So I guess, yeah, all the best campaigns, the idea kind of tends to be somewhere in the middle, doesn't it? In terms of how they're working together to drive success.
And what's your point of view on this, Richard? Where is it that your media makes a difference?
I think it can be different things. I think that in some instances, media can just add loads more scale and as a result impact to something that's sort of a seed of a great idea that otherwise wouldn't have the necessary legs to really sort of be part of the national conversation and be talked about by a mass audience. But I think that's a bit of a kind of a perfunctory version of the impact that media can have. I think that what's really where creative media can work really, really well together is when you sort of combine that kind of addition of scale with the multipliers of sort of a real focus on outcomes and making sure that what we do is delivering for the clients in terms of their commercial or other sort of purpose related KPIs. And I think that often it's the media agency who sort of leads the conversations about how you forecast the effectiveness of work and how you measure that effectiveness. And it's that sort of rigor and that confidence which allows clients to take bigger risks, and it's again taking the bigger risks often leads to the really great work.
Is there something to say more on context as well?
It's definitely true that it is one of the biggest levers that we can offer. So, getting the right context for your message is going to have a significant multiplier on its impact. And that is something that you need your media and creative to work in really tightly and harmoniously to make sure you get the full impact of your plan.
So Tilly, what examples do you have of where context was really important to the Barbie campaign?
A big contextual thing we had was that we knew music was really huge to the soundtrack, for example. And so we did a partnership with Bauer and Kiss and had Mark Ronson on the show running through the soundtrack, turned Kiss pink for the first time, which is a media first. And kind of the beginning of our campaign was actually debuting the trailer at Eurovision, which I think feels incredibly contextually relevant for the Barbie campaign and everything it stands for.
Absolutely. I was at Eurovision. I really welcomed a Barbie trailer. Thank you.
Lots of fun.
Okay, so looking ahead to 2024 then and next year's awards season, if I can be so bold, Lauren, what are you most looking forward to about the work that you have planned for 2024?
Yeah, I think obviously continuing along the same path with the focus on our people and our clients, but we're really excited about how we can think on a more global level. And obviously I'm dialed in from the US at the moment, really thinking about how we can activate on massive global activations. Like Barbie's a great example from last year. So I think we just want to be bigger and better next year, but with all of the same principles around the team that is powering all of our success.
Fantastic. Richard, how about you?
4 months in, and yeah, I think we've got a few things that we're already very excited about. We've got some work with Halifax and Lad Bible that is live at the moment, that I think it starts from a position of it's this strong insight and really great sort of social execution from Lad Bible, which is helping sort of demystify mortgages for first time buyers. And there's some really, really nice use of social content there, which importantly, going back to sort of the conversation earlier about outcomes, like Lloyds Banking Group were already, and the Halifax team particularly, seeing an impact on calls and traffic and just general interest from first-time buyers. So I think that hopefully there's going to be a really good case there in terms of great content driving some really good commercial results.
And Tilly, how about you? What's on the slate for 2024?
Warner has a really epic slate coming up. We have Joker 2 coming out later in the year, Furiosa, which is a Mad Max saga. But I think the thing I'm most excited about for that I'm finding probably one of the biggest challenges so far is Beetlejuice, which is the sequel to Beetlejuice coming out 36 years after the original. So like Rich said, it's got a lot of insights, but from a while ago and how we use them and kind of creating a campaign that goes, does justice to the original and the cultural role it has.
Yeah, that sounds really exciting. I didn't even know about that. So I'm
it's not a secret. I don't think I'm breaking NDA.
No. But no, I'm hyped to see what work you produce for that. I think there's a lot of potential for fun to be had with that again.
I think there's going to be some really fun black and white stripes coming around the UK.
Stay tuned. Okay, you heard it here first. Unfortunately, that is all we have time for. Thank you so much, all of you, for joining us for this Campaign Media Awards special. If you'd like to learn more about what we have been discussing today, please visit our website, campaignlive.co.uk. Details of our subscriptions are available at campaignlive.co.uk/membership. If you enjoyed this episode of the Campaign Podcast, please follow us, like us, and leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts. A big thank you to Haymarket podcast producer Till Owen, and also to you for listening. I hope you will join us next time. On behalf of the campaign team, goodbye.